TheYeshiva.net.
Good morning, everybody. Baruchim Abayim. Welcome. Welcome back. I want to thank Nehemia Kaplan for the beautiful copies, as always. Clear, large, stapled, collated. Thank you. And welcome to everybody who's here. Today's class is dedicated by Dvorah Ziger. Thank you so much for your partnership. And Atzlacha Rabbah and everything. And also Le'elu Nishmas, Esther Bas, Rabbi Yaakov, Shlomo. Okay, so we'll begin a new maimer today. Since we entered into the month of Adar, Adar Rishon, B'Shah Tovah Mutzlachas, the Mishnah says in Megillah, Ein Bein Adar Rishon L'Adar Sheni. The differences between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is Mishloach Manos, Matanos Lavyonim. But we do only Adar Sheni. So the Mefarshim say, for many other things, or most other things, Adar Rishon is similar to Adar Sheni. So Mishnichnas Adar, Marbim B'Simcha. And we are now in a war against Amalek, a serious war against Amalek. So I chose this maimer, which was said by the Lubavitcher Rebbe on Purim, Tovshin Tesvav. That's Purim 1955. And it begins and focuses on Amalek and the obliteration of Amalek. So he begins, you see on the top, Purim Tovshin Tesvav. Reish is goyim Amalek v'acharisei adei oivet. This is a pasuk in Parshas Balak. Dvarim Perek Chav Dalet, pasuk Chav. When Bilam does is sharing his prophecies about the Jewish people and their future and the world. So it says, Vayares Amalek. At some point, Bilam saw the nation of Amalek. Vayisa Meshale Vayomer. And he shared his mashal, his metaphor, his parable. He raised his parable and he said, and this is what he said about Amalek. Reish is Goyim Amalek, which means Amalek is the beginning of Goyim, the beginning of nations. Vacharisai, and the end of Amalek, Adei Oivid, is to perish, to be lost. What does it mean Amalek is the beginning of all the nations? If you look in Chumash, Amalek was a son of Eliphaz. Eliphaz was a son of Esav. That's not the beginning of the nations. Esav was a grandson of Avram Avinu. So Rashi, the Rashi explains, and other Mefarshim explain, Reish is Goyim Amalek means he was the first nation to declare war on Yisrael. The first nation, once the Jewish people became a people, once they were liberated from Egypt and they left Egypt, who was the first one to come and declare war? It says in Parshas B'Shalach, even before Matan Torah, Vayavay Amalek Vayelachim Yisrael B'Refidim. And it was a unique war because Paray's war against the Jewish people was before they were a nation. They were citizens in his land. And at least in his own mind, he had this perceived threat that they're going to take over, they're becoming powerful, two-numbered, who knows what's going to happen. All of his conspiracy theories. It wasn't a rational or justified hate. But one can understand, one can at least appreciate how some mind can concoct such a reason. In other words, you can discuss it. With Amalek, he was unprovoked. The Jews didn't come into his territory. They didn't even pass around his territory. He had to march hundreds of miles to come fight them. So it wasn't about territory. It wasn't a perceived threat. Certainly it wasn't a real threat. There's different medrashim, yeah, but just help pshat. It was a war of pure hatred without anything else. In other words, I don't hate you because you threaten me, because I think you threaten me, because you're aggressive, because I think you're aggressive, because you're going to take over my property, my land. I hate you because of your existence, even if you're far away, you're not even getting close to me. This is why I hate you. So Reish is Goyim Amalek. Rashi says the first nation, the first of the Goyim, unfortunately not the last, but the first to declare war. Vacharise Adi Oivid, and his end, his destiny is to perish. That's what, those are Bilam's words. So the Maimah says, Hine apirush haposhet bazehu. The literal interpretation is Shamalek eini kishara umas. Amalek is not like other nations. Shabahem nemar, by all the other nations, it says there's a nevuah in Tzvanya. Tzvanya is one of the prophets, and this nevuah is a very famous nevuah about the future, about Mashiach, and the Rambam quotes it in his laws in Hilchus Malachim Perek Yud Aleph when he discusses Mashiach. Shabahem nemar, by all the other nations, it says, Oz efech al amim safa bruda likre kulam b'shem Hashem la'avdei shechem echad. There will be a time I will transform all the nations. Az efechalam. There's going to be a universal transformation. All of them will develop a safa brura. Safa brura means a refined language that all of them will call out together. Likrei kulam b'shem Hashem. In other words, this sense of divine oneness will pervade the entire world. That all the nations will serve him shechem echad with one shoulder, with a sense of cohesion and unity. There will be a sense of universal oneness under the reality of Hashem, Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. That's what it says, Os Hefech Alamim, all the nations. Everybody will be transformed. Mashen Ken Amalek, Shacharisei Adei Oivet. And this is what Bilam is saying, that Amalek is an exception. Amalek is destined Adei Oivet to perish. Not to be transformed, but to perish. In other words, there are moments where healing is possible, transformation is possible and desirable, as efech. But Bilam says, when it comes to Amalek, acharisei adei oved. So it perish. Farish akos of tama dover. Why is this? So this explains the fish Amalek ureishes goyim. Why is it? So this is the beginning. Because Amalek is ureishes goyim, the beginning, the genesis of the nations. In other words, the two parts of the pasuk are not two separate discussions. He's talking about the beginning and he's talking about the end. The first half of the sentence explains that second half of the sentence. That's why there's a vav. Because Reish is Goyim Amalek, therefore Acharisei Adei Oved. How does one explain the other? Because he's the first nation, that's why he should perish. Maybe that's why he should stay. So he says, Lefi Shamalek Reish is Goyim Hainu. Shebeshah Shekol HaGoyim HaYureyim Epnei Bnei Yisrael Fatshepen Zich Medzei. Because Amalek has a uniqueness. Since Reish is Goyim, what does it mean? When all the nations had awe and reverence from Bnei Yisrael, he says in Yiddish, Fatshepen Zich Medzei. Fatshepen Zich means they all had a sense of respect. What we say in English, don't mess. don't get entangled. Fatshepen Zich Nisht. Don't touch that which you're not supposed to touch. Stay away. Kamashikasov, it says clearly in Chumash and the Shira, when the Jewish people passed this part of the sea, and they sang, Oz Yashir, what does it say? Oz Nivalu Alufe Edoim Ele Moyev Yechazei Merad Na Moyegu Kol Yashvichnan. We say it every day. Alufe Edoim. Alufe are the rulers, the governors, the lords of Edoim were astounded, they were overwhelmed. Ele Moyev. Ele are the oligarchs, the powerful ones of Mayav. I know there were no oligarchs in Mayav, but you get the kind of Eleas, the powerful ones, the Balikoyach, the powerful nobles of Mayav, Yechazei Meirad, a tremble overtook them, fetched them. Namoigu, all the citizens of Knan melted. Namoigu means like they melted. The Knan, who klolos Hashiva, Mishayos, Beretz Yisrael, Eretz Knan. Knan is not just one tribe. When you say Knan, it refers to all the seven nations, the seven tribes and empires that lived in Eretz Yisrael, which was called Eretz Kanaan. So all of them were overtaken by dread, awe, fear, reverence, respect, and an overwhelming sense of awe after the exodus of Egypt. Everybody. That's what the pasuk is trying to say. There was one exception. And this is what drove him crazy. Amalek, he didn't have anything to lose. He didn't have anything to gain from the war. He had everything to lose. It's not like Amalek was dumb. He felt that they were all crazy. But this sense of awe, hat er meshugah gemacht. The insanity was so deep, like insanity always is, that you jeopardize everything you have just to destroy that which for you is more important than anything you have. That's how crazy the hate is. There was an Israeli prime minister said that peace will come, yeah, when Arab mothers will love their children a little more than they hate our children. Huh? I think Golda Meir, yeah? When they'll love their children a little more than they hate our children. That's when peace will come. If you love your people a little more than you hate the Jewish people, then you're, that's called normalcy. So Amalek, when everyone was in awe, remember, Amalek's war wasn't 2 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Amalek's war was literally right before Matan Torah. It was a few weeks. So you're talking about a story as fresh as any story. They just came out of Mitzrayim. And it was just Kriyas Yamsuf. So everyone was in awe. And that's when Amalek came. Amalek was a righteous goyim shehalach b'roshu b'deshein elilachim im Yisrael. He couldn't tolerate this sense of respect. So he went at the forefront, b'roshu b'deshein, at the forefront lilachim, just to declare war. For you say to him, furthermore, Kamesha Kosov, it says in Parshas B'shalach, v'yov v'yamalek v'yilachim im Yisrael. Amalek came. If at least they were in the area, no, he didn't have to expend so many resources. He sent out some troops, but they weren't there in the path, in the map. They weren't close to Amalek. Amalek is very far. So he had to really take initiative. And this is in ancient times. He couldn't send a few missiles to come to fight. What did he want to accomplish? And he accomplished. Don't be in awe. Kedisa b'medrash, the Medrash gives an amazing metaphor for this. A sad metaphor. This is in Tanchuma Parshas Kiseitze, the section of Zohar, and Rashi brings it. Moshel ambati reitachas. You know what an ambati reitachas? Aheise mikveh, aheise shvitz. Ambati is a bath. Reitachas means it's not 90 degrees, it's not 100 degrees. It's reitachas. It's boiling, boiling hot water. When you go in, you're scorched, you're burnt, right? So it's not the art mikveh, it's also hot, but you can't compare it. Reitachas means it's burning, burning, burning hot. Nobody walks into it. She'ein kol ber yechol leret b'teich. No normal person could go into the bath. And the reason you can't go into the bath is because you're going to push and get burnt. You're going to get hurt. Ba ben b'liyal achat. Comes one Ben Belial, one evil person, he can't walk into it because it's too scary. He jumps into it. Afal pisha nichva, he taka got burnt, but he doesn't mind. But he showed everybody else, you could walk into this path. Kirira, he cooled it off b'fnei achenim. Once he went in, he already brought in a different temperature. He changed the attitude. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, there was a sense of awe, reverence on all the nations. Kivun sheba Amalek v'nizdavig lam. Came Amalek, and tzfat shepet, nizdavig means he connected to them. He combated them. Afol bishanot l'shalem etachas yedeyen. He taka got his punishment. He got burnt. It says that Yeshua defeated Amalek l'fi charev at the end of B'shalach. Yeshua was successful in the war. But he keyed on lifnei umasailam. He cooled off the Jewish people. He cooled off the connection lifnei umasailam. He changed. It took that one person to cool everybody off. And this is the pshat. It says, Zachar is hashasal chamal baderech b'deschim b'mitzrayim. Asher karcha baderech. What does it mean? Asher karcha baderech. And kiseitze. We read it in Parsha Zachar. What's asher karcha? Some people say it every day at the davening. What's asher karcha baderech? So it's not so clear. So many taich asher karcha, he chanced on you. He, from the word mikra, like he was suddenly there. Like this wasn't unexpected, huh? Surprised you. But the Medrash says karcha from the word kridus, kar. Asher karcha, he cooled you off. Asher karcha baderech. He cooled you off. This is not such a hot bath. Amalek created a new standard in the world. There was a certain sense of sanity that took over the nations because they saw reality. And Amalek made sure to get rid of that. It's fine. You could fight them. He created the precedent, even though he himself was burnt. Kivon shamalek ureishes goyim, reishes umoker tnuah sais nagdus b'chol shar goyim. So here he teaches the edelkeit of the pasuk. This is what Bilam is saying. Since he's reishes goyim doesn't only mean he was the first one to fight. He teaches he is the beginning of the tnuah sais nagdus b'chol shar goyim. Amalek represents the genesis of the tnuah. The tnuah is the motion, the move of esnagdus and opposition in all the nations. He is the Rashis in all the Goyim. Now the Rashis doesn't only mean he happens to be the first one on the list. That itself is powerful. But he says what it really means is that Tnua to oppose holiness, he is the Rashis, he's the beginning of it, he's the genesis of it. And all the nations get that from him. So even though by all the other nations it's going to be what we call bidur, what's that bidur? Bidur means sublimation, levarer, to clarify, to separate the good from the negative. In other words, it's going to be la'avdei shechem echad. Everybody will serve together one God by Amalek achris adayev. This is the literal pshat in the pasuk. V'hinei kivon shatayrei nitzchis b'chol zman u'b'chol makayim. U'ma gam shel kol ha'inyanim sheshnu b'gashmiz boi ma'idei shtashlus me'inyanim aruchnim. Since the Torah is eternal, in every time and every place, furthermore, anything that exists in the physical world is something that evolves from the spiritual reality. Harei muvin she'inyin anal yeshnu b'chol zman u'b'chol makayim b'avayda aruchnis. So now we understand that this inyan exists every time and every place in a person's inner spiritual world. You could look at about Amalek and talk about Amalek as an entity. And it's an entity that over the generations, as it says, Basan Khairiv Bilbul Asylum, you can't identify it anymore. Even though you could see the manifestation of Amalek, it's not so funny, unfortunately, everywhere, but Amalek as an identifiable nation has been, is gone already for a long time. So that's on one level. But Torah, everything in Torah is eternal in every time and every space, even if not the physical manifestation of it. But on some level, it's eternal. And certainly, every physical thing comes from a spiritual energy. So there's two wars of Amalek. There's the physical war of Amalek. That's done by soldiers on the front lines, or whoever is fighting Amalek. But there's another war of Amalek. And that's the war inside. Here, nobody could say, I'm too young, I'm too old, I can't fight. This is already every person internal. So this nekuda of Reishis Goyim Amalek is true in every time, in every era, and in every person in a person's life. Klolus inyan, who the general concept is Shamalek inyan chutzpah v'gaiva. Amalek represents a level of chutzpah and arrogance. All the seven middas, loitova is the not good middas, which we'll explain, which represent by the seven, which are the spiritual element of the seven nations in Canaan. What's the reishis of them? The beginning of all the middas rayas is the chutzpah is Amalek, the chutzpah and the gaiva. And because that's the beginning of it, that needs to go in order for everything to fall back in place. This is the general blueprint, outline of what now begins a discussion in much more depth and much more detail. Base. The Yuvan, all this will be understood, behektim klolus inyan avodas adam, to understand the whole inyan of avodah of a person. Shehi lefi yofen hadargis sheyeshna benefesh adam. The whole avodah of a person is consistent with the dargis. The dargis means the different states of consciousness in a human soul. Shaklalusam chamisha dargis. Generally, there's avodah on five levels based on five states of the soul. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yichida. It says in Medrash, he brings in footnote 8 where the Midrashim are, Bereshis Rabba, Dvarim Rabba, Zohar. Chamisha shemes nikrula. The soul has five names. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. Five names. So the Avodah of a person is also divided by these five Madregas, these five names. Not just different names, Yankel, Shmedel, Zelig, and Chayim. and David. When you talk about five names of the soul, it means five states of the soul. It's five states of consciousness. So the Avoda is connected with the, that's what he says. The Avoda is lefi oifen hadargus yeshna benefesh adam. It's different types of Avoda based on each name of the soul. Ach ikir Avoda bitmidus hi bakoichus penimim shem nefesh ruach neshama. But the main Avoda of a person consistently is what's called koichus penimim, internal faculties, nefesh ruach neshama. As we're going to see, there's something called koichus penimim and koichus makifim. Koichus pnimim are faculties that are internalized. Pnimim means it goes in bipnimius, meaning it's internalized within a person. Then there's something called koichus makifim. Makifim literally means surrounding, but here it means it remains above, more transcendent, more infinite. So nefesh, ruach, and neshama are koichus pnimim. And chaya yichida are koichus makifim. Uklalu say that havayda benefesh, ruach, and neshama ubaifin sheneshama ibemayach. Ruach belev and nefesh bekavet. This says in Kabbalah, Arizal says in Eitz Chaim, the Eben Ezra also actually says it in Mishpatim, that nefesh, ruach, and neshama is connected uniquely to the brain, ruach is connected uniquely to the heart, and nefesh is manifested uniquely in the liver. That's what the Arizal says in Eitz Chaim. The Eben Ezra brings it also. The Eben Ezra is before the Arizal, but he says it in Mishpatim. He says it in terms of philosophy. The Arizal says it in the language of Kabbalah. It's in footnote 9, Eitz Chaim, Eben Ezra. So the Avoda, we have nefesh, the liver. The ruach is the heart. Neshama is the brain. And then you have, as we'll see, chaya yechida. Be it inyan, to explain all of this, the hinei neshama b'mayach uklolus inyan asechel. When the Eben Ezra or the Eitz Chaim that Arizal connects neshama with the mayach, it means that neshama represents the general theme of seichel, which is cognition, understanding, awareness. Befrat bina, specifically in seichel itself, the quality of bina, understanding, shein yana havana v'asaga. The theme, the faculty, the quality of bina is comprehension. Hasaga, hasaga means to reach, which means to attain something, to grasp it. To grasp it. L'hasig mashu is to grasp it. Here we're talking about not physical grasping, but intellectual grasping. L'haynu l'havinu l'hasig kol inyin sichli l'farti b'pratis. The function of seichel, and especially of binah, is to understand and to comprehend everything that's seicheldik, meaning everything that lends itself to a rational understanding. L'farti b'pratis. L'farti b'pratis means to dissect it in a granular way in order to be able to truly grasp it. Because if something is just in a very general way, so the grasp is also general. So you have to have lefarti b'pratis, you need to divide it, dissect it into pratim. And a more granular dissection allows you to be able to grasp all the aspects. V'chein lahasbid asinyin. And then there is explaining it. Afilu ayidei inyonim shei mechutz la'asechel. And sometimes to explain an idea, you have to borrow phrases or terminology or ideas from outside the idea. For example, would be kamei hatzayus u'mashalim u'kai gavna. For example, when somebody brings different comparisons or metaphors or stories or parables, she'ein zeguf haseichel. It's actually not the idea itself. It actually looks like you're talking about something else. But this is a way of creating references and comparisons in people's minds to be able to bring it closer. Mashenkin k'shemefadet ha'inyonim she'zol beguf shel haseichel. When we said before about dissecting the idea into details, this is in the guf haseichel, this is the idea itself. And then there's explaining it by bringing in other concepts and ideas that just help you see this idea. So one way is discussing the seichel itself, and then one way is from bringing from outside of the seichel. Kol inyana b'seichel u'avana v'asaga b'elikusu b'inyanim elikim. V'einu shayeches klal asaga sachedes. Ha'de inyin ha'binne b'nefesh elikisu. L'vayiru l'hazbides ha'inyanim elikim. Gam al dey inyanim shem mechutz la'asaga. V'gam l'fadit fanande klai b'nes ha'seichel v'avana v'asaga l'pratav. In a person itself, when you speak about nefesh, ruach, neshama, as we're going to see, a person doesn't operate on one level of consciousness. We have a nefesh alikis, we have a nefesh abahamas. Nefesh alikis is the divine soul, nefesh abahamas is the animal consciousness. And they both make up a person. So he says, when you talk about the nefesh alikis on its own, the nefesh alikis is divine. Because the nefesh alikis is divine, its very essence And reality is dveikus, connection to the divine. That's what it is. It's a chelik, as it says in Tanya, that the nefesh alikis is a chelik alikam imal mamish. It's a derivative of the consciousness of infinity. So therefore, every quality in the nefesh alikis is always in the space of intimacy with the divine. There's no quality in the personality of the nefesh alikis is a personality, it's a soul. When you say nefesh abahamis, nefesh alikis, the divine soul, animal soul, it's not yetzer tov and yetzer hara. It's much deeper than that. Yetzer tov, yetzer hara means there's a person, and there's two forces that pull you. It's like an angel pulls you here, and another angel pulls you here. Or a voice here, and a voice there. Nefesh is a mensch. Nefesh is a soul. It's a whole consciousness. It's a whole tzir adam. It's a whole person. So nefesh abahamis, nefesh alikis means the person can operate in two different states, in two states of consciousness. One is my entire state of consciousness, which means the way I see things, the way I understand things, the way I relate to things, my triggers, my instincts, my habits, my reactions, my emotions, my feelings, my passions, my ideas. It's all living in the animal space, the nefesh abahamis. And I could live that way, and then my nefesh alikis remains buried in the subconscious or in the superconscious. Sometimes it peeks out, sometimes it doesn't. Or nefesh alikis means there's a whole soul that's divine. There's a whole life. A nefesh is a full soul. It's a full persona. There's ten koiches, there's seichel, and there's middas, there's kesem, mit chachma, mit bin nedas, chesed, guru, teferes. It's a koima shleima. It's a whole structure. That's the chiddush of nefesh alikis. In other words, it's a divine life. It's not just you're being pulled to do good things. It's a different, you're living in a different space. That's not nefesh alikis. Not just yetzer tov, you're like some neutral machine, and sometimes I schlep you to do a good thing, I schlep you to do a bad thing. It's a choice in which state of consciousness you're in. Nefesh alikis, nefesh abahamis. That's one of the ideas, not just a yetzer, but a soul. A nefesh is a whole persona, it's a whole personality. So by the nefesh alikis, every quality is focused on one thing. It remains intimate with truth, with the divine, with divine consciousness. So Mela, the bina of the nefesh alikis is processing alikos through Havana. That's what it is. What's the bina of the nefesh alikis? That's what he says, to explain. The nefesh alikis, its whole inyan and seichel is to deher, to understand, to appreciate, to understand godliness and inyanim alikim. Anything that is a derivative of godliness, which means a manifestation of godliness. And it's not shaykh to other hasagas, meaning other hasagas, other comprehensions that are outside of that realm, don't talk to it. It's not what it is. So what would be bin in the nefesh alikis? To explain in yanim alikim, and as we said, there's explaining it through that itself, and through other themes outside of the idea itself, like metaphors, and also fananda kleiben, to dissect it in all the details. Well, the dugma, an example for this would be Shemaz bila atzma yasainyan dis havus hayashmeyayin. He's giving an example of the nefesh alikis's bina that he explains to himself. In other words, he thinks this is something he does with himself. He's mazbit to himself the inyan of his havus hayashmeyayin, the reality of the emergence of the yesh from the ayin. The yesh is the existence, which we call yesh something. From ayin, ayin is the source of existence. We call it ayin. Ayin means nothingness. But as we said many times, nothingness doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It means it's no nothingness, is no thingness. Because if it's a thing, it can't be the source of existence. It could be the source for that thing. The seed of an apple can give birth to the apple tree that comes from that yesh. Even an orange tree is not going to come up from an apple tree, certainly not a camel or a black hole. So the ayin is no thing, so that could be the source of the yesh. It could be the source of every yesh. Shu bederech ein arech. And the nefesh alikis understands that this is bederech ein arech. Bederech ein arech means that the relationship of yesh meyayin is not one that is relative. The leap between the two is not a gradual one. That would be called be'erech. Erech means you'll say one relative to a million has an erech. Because a million is a million ones. Even one relative to a billion is called an erech. Erech means there's a measurement. There's an erech to it. We say in davening Shabbos, right? Ein erech lecha. But the yesh and the ayin, it's not like a relative gradual development. From one, you come to five, to ten. There's a quantum leap, which means an infinite leap that's not be'erech, the yesh to the ayin. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So there's rational numbers, and then there's infinity. So, right. So one relative to a billion, it's pretty far. It's pretty distant. But we all understand it's be'erech. In other words, to put it differently, if one was worthless, then a billion wouldn't be able to have worth. The reason a billion is worth something is because each one counts. That's why usually the richer people are, the more stingy they are with $1, right? It's an old word. Al tiftechu b'nedivim. Don't put your confidence in nedivim, people that have a lot of money. Be'ven adam she'ein lo yisushua. Somebody who has nothing, he'll help you. Maybe he doesn't take it so seriously. So be'ein aroich means it's bechlal not be'erech. Even though on the other side, paradoxically, the koyach hapoel is mislabish ban nifl. The koyach hapoel means the activating creative force is manifested. It's enclosed. It's embodied in the nifl, in that which it's creating. It's creating it. It's giving it existence. It's giving it vitality. It's not a psa koyach that's detached. The koyach hapoel is embodied in the nifl. That's the word, like we learned in Basil Gani Va'ata, Mechaya Eskula. It's the Oisius, Aleph through Tov, that create the chemistry of the Nivra. It's not something detached and aloof. That's true, but Mele Yeshlik Tzas Erech Imai. So therefore, by nature, you can't say there's no Erech whatsoever. Because if the very chemistry, if the very composition of every created being is essentially an embodiment of the Koyach HaPoel, so the Koyach HaPoel has to tailor itself and limit itself to become the DNA of this creation. That's true. But the truth is that that's not the whole story. When you understand the pchinas halakus, that is the godliness which is transcendent of that which we call seviv kolam, and it transcends the worlds, then it's be'ein arech legamri. Then even the koyach hapoel and the nifl is not be'erech. It's completely of a quantum leap from the koyach, from the divinity that's present. You're saying, how could you divide an elikos? So you're not dividing in elikos. In other words, mamala kalalman versus sevu kalalman is the perception, the fact that it's embodied in a way that it becomes finite. It's because what we're experiencing is the way Hashem's energy is filtering itself to constitute and become the engine and the chemistry of this particular Nivra. If not, there wouldn't be finiteness, right? But in that very moment, there's also Seviv Kalam, and it's not two separate things. V'cheinu gam ba'olam is the same as true also in the olam is in the worlds themselves. K'moy ha'bilti erech the olam is b'di yitzira asir l'gabi atzilas. When you speak about the bilti erech, the lack of erech, again the quantum leap between of the olam is b'di yitzira asir versus the world of atzilas, which is the first world. The ba'olam is b'di yitzira asir nichlal me'ef shariyus ha'yashus ad yashus mamash. Bri Yitzir Asiya, it includes all reality, what he calls from Efsharis Hayashis until Yesh Mamash. Efsharis Hayashis means the possibility for Yeshes, the possibility, the potentiality for a sense of self, of ego, all the way down to Asiya, which is Yesh Mamash. We have actually a Yesh, a sense of Yesh. And in Atzilus, it's called Iyu v'chayoyichad. It says in Zohar, he and his middos are one. In other words, there's complete oneness without any even possibility and potentiality for yesh. Shazawinyan shabein araich. It's a completely different magnitude of reality. V'lachein legabi oylam atzilus adei oylam is b'ri yitzir asiyah kolay chashivi. And that's why legabi, the world of atzilus, when you speak about b'ri yitzir asiyah, it's kaloi chashivi. It's like it's naught. What does it mean? It's like its existence is like it's naught, because in Atzilus it's all a chelik of achdus. It's all a chelik of oneness. If you go further in Atzilus relative to higher than Atzilus, v'chein beklolus oylemus gamma oylemus shalemaylem Atzilus legabi ein sof. And if you go further, even the worlds that are higher than Atzilus legabi the light of ein sof. The inyan ze yochel has bilatzmi adin yonim shem mechutz l'seichel zah. This type of understanding, this type of awareness is what the Nefesh HaLekis kocht. This is the Nefesh HaLekis's relationship to reality. So these things, it wants to explain itself. And sometimes it explains itself through ideas that are outside of this particular discussion. Chazal give an example and say, just like the soul fills the body, Hashem fills the world. So you're bringing an example that in order to appreciate the relationship of the divine reality to the world, you examine the relationship of the soul to the body. So in other words, you're borrowing from another field in order to explain the inyan in Elikus. If you want to understand the concept of Saiv of Kalam, the Nefesh Elikus will give a metaphor from the parts that are related to the body in an internalized way and that are related to the body in a more subconscious way, in a superconscious way. That will be an example of Saiv of Kalam. So you give explanations through metaphors outside of the discussion itself. And that's what a metaphor is. And then there's something even deeper in Binah, which is understanding the pratim, the details in the idea itself, not just using other ideas to explain it. You always begin with metaphors and examples because you need to make it more accessible. So you begin by examples from something outside of the realm of the seichel, something that's more attainable to the person. Something that's completely abstract, so you need to bring mishalim from other fields that are more accessible. So this gives you like a handle, access to it. That's step one. But once you get there, now you want to really get into this seichel. In other words, don't get lost in the mashal. People get stuck. Right? Metaphors, jokes, stories. You have to get to the nimshal. Some people can get stuck. The chitzainius of it. Huh? What do you say? Yeah, you fall into that. So you want to get to the seichel itself. And then, and to understand the pratim in the seichel. In other words, to really be teufus, what we're saying in all the details. And then you want to get to the main thing. And that is the core of it, the nekuda satamtzis. You could sometimes, in other words, you have three things. You have a person, it's a nice mashal, it's a nice story. I remember I was once invited somewhere to speak, it was in Virginia, and there was some huge snow, it was like 30 inches, and they had a whole day of learning, so the two other speakers canceled. I was there for Shabbos, so I had to speak for them too. So I spoke for many hours. So a guy comes over to me at the end, he says, the opening joke was very good. I said, okay, thank you. There's a word from the Baal Shem Tov, Haflu de Kavar. The Baal Shem Tov says that whenever a person experiences love in the world, any love, any form of love, essentially it's Hashem reaching out to him. Hashem says, I would love to have a loving relationship with you. But he knows that the person doesn't understand yet the language of divinity. So Hashem uses a person or a thing as a messenger in order to be able to bring you into it. But it's only a mashal. It's a metaphor. He says the same is true with yirah, fear, awe, reverence. It's essentially, he says, but people get stuck in the mashal and they don't understand that it's just a metaphor to be able to get to the nimshal. Psychologically, it's a very, very powerful idea. It means a person says, I'm crazy about this, or I'm scared of this. Yeah. Really, you're crazy about God. That's what you're crazy about. The way it's translated is through this particular issue because your system doesn't yet have the pristine vocabulary. So, Imela, you have to work through the mashal. And the truth is, in psychological terms, it's a very, very profound idea. It means what you see is not what you're getting. In other words, what you say you want is a very small part of the story. If you get to really what you want, yeah, just like what you want is a mashal, the voice inside of you that's saying you want this is also a mashal. You always have to know what is it a mashal for? My heart is also a mashal. There's something inside that it's really searching for. So the same is true, that's what he says. But a person can get stuck in the mashal. A mashal is very important, because without the mashal I have no access. It's the beginning of contact. But he says, ultimately you want to get to the seichel itself, and the seichel itself not just in a superficial way, but really understand the pratim of it. In other words, all the details. Because then you have a tfisa. You know, if you have a big watermelon, try to grasp it, it's not going to work. You have to be able to cut it into pieces and then see every prat, because that you can hold on to. But then you can get lost there too. You have a lot of pratim. He says, then you want to get to the oimek hamusik, the nekudas atamtsis. The nekudas atamtsis is what's the core of it? What's the nekud of it? Sometimes there's people, right? They know the price of everything and the value of nothing. Or somebody once said, people today are reading more and more about less and less. So you know one detail and another detail and another detail. So you have 100,000 details, you know, you and Encyclopedia Britannica. But the nekuda you don't have. The nekudas hatamtsis you don't have. The oimek hamusik. It's also true in Yiddishkeit, you know, you could have this and this and this and this. The nekuda you don't have. Sometimes a person has the nekuda. It's a whole different inyan. From all the pratim, you're not getting to the oimek hamusik. It says by Matan Torah, v'chol ha'am royim es hakoilos. Right, everybody saw the voices. We learn Shabbos, the Alter Rebbe says, the Chazal say, royim es hanishma. They saw what's usually heard, and they heard what's usually seen. So one of the Maimarim, he explains, the Alter Rebbe explains, the difference between seeing and hearing is, it's a very interesting thing, he says, a moedadik thing. When you hear something, by definition, if I'm hearing a story, if you're reading a story to your child, a bedtime story, how do you hear a story? It's detail after detail. Yeah, 300 years ago, there was a Yid, his name was Reb Chaim, and he had a sheep, and they went with the sheep on a journey. It's detail after detail, and after 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour, the story comes together. Detail after detail after detail. If I start telling the story, you say, so what's the punchline? It doesn't work that way. I don't have a punchline yet. After all the details, from the details, you're going to get a picture. Ah, you finished the story, now you get a picture. That's in hearing. In seeing, you see the whole picture first. And then you have to analyze the details, right? If I want to describe to you a certain house, or I want to describe to you a certain scene, I want to describe to you a certain landscape, I want to describe to you a certain reality. Say, come see it. What's the first thing you see? The roof? The handle? The floor? No, you see everything. Wow. You see the cloud. And now you say, okay, now let me analyze. So in hearing, you go from the prat to the cloud. In seeing, you go from the cloud to the prat. So when somebody sees something, you see everything. You see the whole picture. Now you see, this is part of the picture, this is part of the picture, this is part of the picture. In godliness, and Yiddishkeit also works that way. So by Matan Torah v'chalam royim, what's usually heard, they saw the whole thing, they saw the whole nekuda. And then you could see how every detail is a manifestation of the whole thing. By us, it's usually the opposite. You learn one detail, one detail, one detail, one prat, and hopefully you get to the klal. But you can also not get to the klal. You could stay in pratim. You're missing the nekudas hatamtsis. So he says, in every seichel, first of all, you have the mashalim. Then you got to the seichel itself, all the pratim, which is already a whole deeper level, like you really get it. But then there's actually getting it, getting back to the core, the oimek, the nekudas hatamtsis. Shezeu ikir haseichel, and that's the main thing. V'hainu, the im yoyshinyan abinu avonu v'asaga d'enyanam shemichutz la'aseichel, upidut enyanam shebeseichel gufa, hine aideze nasa etzlei gisha atzutrit, atzutrit. Bina starts off with understanding things through metaphors outside of the idea. Then you get to the idea and the dissecting all the details and all the aspects and all the nuances and all the dimensions. And then you have access. You have a gisha, a tsutrit. Tsutrit means you start getting access to be able to get to the pnimiyus haseichel, which is beyond levushei hasaga, which is even beyond the garments of comprehension. Even comprehension, relative to the nekuda, is a levush. It's a garment. The nekuda itself is even beyond hasaga. No, from the word, no, that's tzitter. Tzutrit is from the word trit, which means a step. A tzutrit in Yiddish is an expression of, you have access. It's a tzutrit. It's the beginning. The mashal is just to give you access.
Not like a
yeah. No. A tzutrit means access, yeah. That's tzitter. This tzitter, that's fear. Tzutrit is a Yiddish word. From the word trit is like a step. It's like a stepping stone. It gives you access. The ticket is not the purpose. I have a plane ticket. The point is you get on the plane. You have a ticket. You're shekayach. Person has a check. That's not the point. The point is to go deposit it. So some person holds on to the marshal, or you hold on to the pratim. That's just, it's giving you access to be able to get further. So in every inyan, when the nefesh alakis and alakus, it speaks about neshtama and guf, to be able to understand the relationship of the koyach hapoyel to the nifl. It speaks about makif in a person to explain the relationship of seviv kalaman, etc. And this is so important. It's so important, especially in pnimi satayra, because lamashal, anyone who teaches, especially today, you know that without mishalim, without metaphors, people, it's very hard for people to understand. So you give metaphors, and most of the metaphors, how, like he says here, neshama and guf, it's from things happening inside the person. Because when people see, when I talk to you, what's happening inside of you, right? If the teacher or the person who's explaining it knows what he's talking about, you see everybody start smiling. It's like say people say, "Oh, you have a video camera in my house. How do you know what's happening in my house? You have a bug. You have a video camera. Or how do you know what's happening? You see people smile most, yeah." When you describe things that are happening inside their kishkas, and they thought nobody knows about it. They think that the only meshugayim in Gan Zbrod, the einzige meshugan in Gan Zbrod is him. Suddenly he sees the nacha meshugana. The guy who's teaching is echa meshugana. So people get excited. It's nice to have camaraderie. Right? You're smiling now. Finally. Finally, you thought you were the only meshugan in the whole New York State. Not just in Muncie. Right? So that's what makes it relatable to people. Oh, wow, you're describing my brain. And especially the more insane it is, the more they laugh. Because it's like, wow. Yeah, but I'm saying, this is a sensitive thing. But as interesting as it is and as powerful as it is, that's only the mushel. It's the mushel. And it's very important because without that, I have no access to the whole world of pnimius. To access the world of pnimis, so you give metaphors of kaychas and nefesh and people's brains and people's emotions and the relationship of the soul and the body and the neshama and the guf and everything that comes with it. The positive and the negative and the difficult and the challenges. But it's really a tzutrit. It's a trut. It's an access to be able to be toifus alakus. To be able to be toifus the chelik alakami mal. To be able to be toifus alakus. And then in the seichel itself, there's pratim and pratim, and then there's the nekudas hatamtzis. So when he gives a mashal before about Yesh Mayayin, in order to understand Yesh Mayayin and the different paradoxes in it, you need Mishalim for it. And there's so many different pratim, but then there's the Oimek HaMusik, the Nekudas HaTamtzis. V'hinei Shoyrish Inyin, Havana V'asaga D'bina B'chines Neshama, Hi B'chines Bina D'atzilis. The source of this comprehension of the soul, which is Bina, which we call Neshama, it begins with Bina of Atzilis. Because Atzilis is the first world, the first reality in which you have spheres, in which you have divine characteristics, including Bina. It starts with Bina of Atzilus. But Bina of Atzilus is Bina that is completely, completely divine. In order for Bina of Atzilus to be able to be understanding in our world, in other words, the way the Neshama is embodied in a body, to be able to understand, So Bina needs to be manifested in what's called Malchus of Atzilus. Malchus of Atzilus and Bina of Briya and then Malchus of Briya. And that's where the Neshamas and Gan Eden comprehend things. Gan Eden Elyon is called Olam HaBriya. And that's why it says the Neshamas sit and bask in the radiance of the Shekhinah. Because it's Hasaga Pnimis. It's a way that they could comprehend it. And then the Bina comes down and Bina of Yetzirah and the Malchus of Yetzirah. And then from there, Bina and Malchus of Asiyah. He's explaining here what Seder Ishtalshlus is. When we speak about the evolution of the worlds, if there was only Olam HaAtzilus, if Hashem would stop the evolution by Olam HaAtzilus, so then everything would be experienced as pure infinite consciousness, pure divinity. That's how it would be experienced in our Kalim. Because in Atzilus, there's nothing outside of it. But because the energy descends, and in each descent, it goes through filters and concealments and layers, so therefore, it can create new perceptions of reality and ways to relating to the universe all the way till this world, the way we comprehend. And even in this world itself, you can't compare the brain of an ant to the brain of a tiger, to the brain of a fox, to the brain of a human being. And even in every human being, right, there's so much growth and development and evolution and progress, one direction or another direction. And in each one, there's more comprehension. And sometimes, right, compare the cognition or the awareness of one type of brain to another type of brain. Even in this world, it's Bein Arach. But even the highest level of Bina in this world is Bina, the way it's relatable to Olam HaAsiyah, which has to go through so many transformations all the way from Bina of Atzilus. Even the Neshamas in Gan Eden, it's not Bina of Atzilus, it's Bina of Briya. Because that's why they can comprehend it. If there would be Bina of Atzilus, there would be no they. The fact that you say there's souls sitting and enjoying the Ziva Shechina, that's already Olam HaBriya. With this, as he called it before, Efsharius of Yeshus. The possibility of Yeshus. Then there's Bina of Yetzirah, then there's Bina of Asiyah. And Bina of Asiyah itself, there's endless levels. So it all begins with Bina of Atzilus. But then it evolves, or devolves all the way to the way that Bina is here. And here itself, what am I grasping? What am I comprehending? So there's layers and layers. The Bina of Atzilus, when you say Atzilus, Bri, Yetzir, Asiya, it doesn't mean four different worlds and different planets. It's four states of consciousness in this world. In Bina of Atzilus, it's the understanding of complete Achdus. And therefore the experience of complete Achdus. When Bina devolves, it gets more and more filtered and concealed to the point that in our world, the whole Bina could just be you latch onto one detail and you divorce it from the whole picture. That's why the Bina could be very, very poor and very, very external. Because you just see the mushli, you don't even see a nimshal. Many scientists and physicists, they're brilliant people. But their whole life, they only see the mushli, they don't see the nimshal. Their whole life, they're busy with this detail, that detail, that detail, without seeing the whole mushal. It's really a mushal for the nimshal. There's a kayach hapoyel. Sometimes you get the nimshal, but you're stuck in a prat. And sometimes you can go from the pratim and get to the klal, to the oimek
hamusak. Well,
what they're missing, though, whatever they're missing, who's going to explain?
That's what we're trying to do. What do you say about academia? Academia, yeah, we call it chachma. Academia is called chachmas chitzainius. Why is it called chachmas chitzainius? Who created science? Who created physics? Who created botany? Who created astronomy? Hashem. So why is it chachmas chitzainius? The answer is, any chachma that lends itself to be able to see only the chitzainius of reality and not the pnimius of reality, chachmas chitzainius is a very deep word. Chachmas chitzainius is not such a chitzainius dika word. It's a very deep description of science. Anything that lends itself to describe reality from an external point of view without getting to the core of it, that's called chachmas chitzainius.
It should have called chachmas pnimius because they missed the one step.
Yeah. Yeah. So the the point of the point of Torah is to be able to megala the pnimius. No, it's not wrong.
It's the same reality.
It's the same reality. It's just what am I seeing? They once asked Reb Meir Shapiro about two types of learning Torah, different styles. So he gave an example. He said the Gemara says in Sukkah, Amru alav al Yonis and Ben Uziel, They say about Yonis ben Uziel, right? Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. The oldest was Yonis ben Uziel. Youngest was Yochanan ben Zakkai. So it's Amr Lava Yonis ben Uziel that when he would learn, Kol Oif Shepredeach Alav HaYonisref. Any bird that flew over him would get burnt. So the Meir Shapiro says there was a Chavrus in Yeshiva and they learned his Gemara. What was their reaction? So he says, one of them was, wow. A bird, the fire, the ecstasy that the bird was consumed in the Kedusha Satayra. Even the birds didn't remain apathetic. It's the bird was burnt up. And the other one says, you think Yonis ben Uziel is chayiv to pay for it? He burnt the bird. Because of his learning, my bird got burnt. So you think he has to pay? So this is very a question of dinah de garmi, this gromen, and okay. Direct, indirect. How much responsibility do you have that for your holiness there was a fire that burnt up somebody else's bird? It's a shayla. Yichayev b'dinei yadam, yichayev b'dinei shamayim. Your pshia. So Meir Shapiro was, what's pshat? Yeah, it's an interesting question, but the Gemara he didn't understand, right? You understand? The facts he understood, what the bird got burnt. That's called chitzainius. The facts he has. There's a bird, Zionis and Ben Uziel, but what is he hearing? Are you chayev or you not chayev? The whole nekudah he didn't understand. So it's called pnimius versus chitzainius. In every level, there's chitzainius legabe pnimius. In other words, in one world, it's pnimius, but relative to a higher world, that's chitzainius. And then in the higher world, even the pnimius is chitzainius relative to a higher world. Do another paragraph. Achlefi beers, according to this explanation, tzadich lias. Hasagas haneshamas, havanav hasagat debin abchines neshama, ba'ofen sheneshamas debin yitzirasiya, yuchlu lahasag rakat bchines malchus datzilis, shi shayda shemokad havanav hasagalamata. Vafilu neshamas agvoyes dat neshamas datzilis, yuchlu lavin alahasag rakat bchines bina datzilis. According to this, it would mean that all the souls can comprehend. Remember, neshama is bina. So the soul can comprehend, even the highest soul is in Olam HaBriya in Gan Eden. It can comprehend everything till Malchus of Atzilus. Because Malchus of Atzilus is, Malchus of every world is the source for the world under it. Malchus means leadership, kingship. What's the definition of leadership? Leadership means the person who's taking responsibility, let's say, for the country. What does it mean spiritually? Malchus is the quality that creates the quality in Hashem that creates the next reality. By us, Malchus is you have a country and you have a melech over the country. When you're talking about divinity, there's no polarity. So the Malchus, that which is the melech, is responsible for the very creation of the Am. It's a reflection of the Malchus. So when you speak about Malchus of Atzilus, that's responsible for the world under it. Malchus of Briya for Yitzir. So the Shamas can only be Taifas till Malchus of Atzilus because that is the source for all the comprehension, Lamata. Without Malchus of Atzilus, there's no filter to the next world. Even the Shamas of Atzilus, so they can understand, till Bina of Atzilus, because Bina is understanding. We see, But here you see that souls, Rashbi, the Arizal, and he says, Nesiim after them, leaders after them, spoke about very, very lofty things, higher than Bin of Atzilus, even higher than the world beyond Atzilus, even about things that are beyond the Tzimtzum. How are they talking about it? The very brain that's supposed to grasp reality is already a product of Bina. And even if it's the highest soul, fine. So it's still Bina Batzilis. So how do you talk about these things? For Av Shemavur Alzan, even though... But we're talking about Hasaga, if the whole concept of comprehension only comes through Bina. The very idea of talking about something is the way reality is filtered through Bina. So l'chayra, that's where it stops. V'av shemavur al zashas agasam oisirak asagas hamatzis v'loy asagas hamahuz. And even though it's explained on this, that their comprehension was what we call hasagas hamatzis, not hasagas hamuz. Hasagas hamatzis means the comprehension of its reality, not of its essence. Mikol makam kivin shagam hasagas hamatzis nikras b'shem hasaga. Hadei enei muvin eich ev sheliyas sheneshama. Shavana v'asaga shaloi l'chalayosim ebchines binedatzilis tuchel lahasig afilu b'asagas hamatzis b'lvad. Dargis nailis yoyser ledabin umfananda kleiben sich binyanim elu. It's true, hasagas hamatzias is not hasagas hamos. Hasagas hamos means comprehending the core. Mahu, muhus comes in the word mahu, what is it? Hasagas hamatzias is knowing the reality of it. An example would be, if you're looking at a map, you see what Italy looks like. It's a boot. It looks like a boot. But you're not touching the country, you're not touching it. You see the shape, you know what it looks like. And then there's actually, you know, going into the country and touching the rocks and the earth and the water and the soil. So hasagas hamohus means you're masig the mohus of something. You comprehend, you could see it, you got it. Hasagas hamatzias means you understand the reality of it, even though you can't touch it or define it in its core. Like we said Shabbos, a person knows that they have a self. But there's no hasagas hamahus. What exactly? Can you make a picture of yourself, of your core, of your consciousness? I know I have a consciousness, and I know that it's complicated. That's what I know. That's what you know. You know it's complicated. You know that it drives you crazy. You know that you have anxiety or bliss, hopefully the latter. But you know the mahus of who you are. There's a humility. You have to hasagas hamatzias, but hasagas hamatzias there is. To say, prove to me that there's a self. Okay, I mean, I can't prove it to you. How am I supposed to prove it to you? You want to say that I'm a machine and it's just delusions? Fine. Gesundheit.
It says it to
prove.
That,
to ask your therapist, what's the proof? Ask your wife.
You have a banking account.
You have a banking account. So he says, even if it's only hasagas hamatzias, it's not hasagas hamahuz, but still, how can a neshama, that the very understanding, at best, at the highest level, is bina vatzilas. It's the way godliness comes into bina. How can even basagas hamatzias, how can they talk about higher states? Talk about it. Fananda kleibenzich means dissect it. Get into it. When do you come to talk about it? It's a big question. Obiyasi is asking here on all the rabbeim, the Arizal, the Rashbi, the Baal Shem Tov, all these nesiyah. Obiyasi yipale. Even stranger, shere inyan avada v'asaga tzadich lahavi l'dekach shiye b'yicholus l'chavin b'yichudim al yoynim. V'loidak yichudit hata, ela afilu yichudit ila. V'inyan zeh toivim eitzel kol echad v'echad. Loidak neshama da atzilis, v'loidak neshama da briye v'yitzir, ela gam neshama da asiyah. Not a regular question in a mimer. The comprehension in all of this wasn't stam to give speeches and lectures. It was for people to be able to have a relationship with it. What he put, what's this? To be able to have kavanah, to be able to relate to these yichudim, to be able to experience some level of this unity, of this inner unity of reality. And not just the lower level of unity, but the higher level of unity. There's yichudet hatah, it says in Zohar, there's yichudet ilah. In other words, that the person should be able to create these unifications in their soul, in their mind, and in the world. And this is something that the Rabbeim demanded from everybody. Not only neshamas of Atzilus. Rashbi was an Atzilus. Arizal was an Atzilus. You talk about neshamas of Bri, and even neshamas of Asiya. There's a sefer Imre Bina from the Mittler Rebbe, the Balatanya's son. It's a sefer about Achdus Hashem, about Shema Yisrael. So he says in the introduction, he says, those who don't toil in this inyan to apply the Yichudim, to first of all understand them and apply them in Avayda B'Poyel. So he calls them, it's a very sharp word, Poyshe Yisrael B'Nishmasam. Usually the expression in Gemara is Poyshe Yisrael B'Gufam. But a Jew never puts on tefillin, it's called Poyshe Yisrael B'Gufam. He says there's another concept of Poyshe Yisrael. In the surface, he's the frumest guy in the world, but he's a Parshei Yisrael b'nishmas. His soul is a Parshei Yisrael. Why? Because really, every person's soul is capable to live in Achdus, to live in Achdus Hashem, to live in the Yechudim. And the fact that I'm neglecting this is it's a betrayal of the soul. It's a betrayal of the Parshei Yisrael b'nishmasa. Don't hear it in judgment. Don't hear it with judgment. Hear it with love. This is talking about what a neshama is. It's a Parshei, I was before Yom Kippur, I did a Zoom with a lot of people who are struggling. It was with an organization called in Detroit, Fresh Start. So people were saying that they have a terrible time with Hashabnu, Bagadnu, Malchet, you know, nine times. Why? Because a lot of people, they were hurt terribly by people. So instead of the world telling them Hashabnu, they're busy all day saying Hashabnu. What am I guilty for? What am I guilty for? That at 4 years old, my innocence was stolen? It's a good question. It's a very deep, it's a serious question. If you don't have it, you're lucky. But some people have it, and that's why they hate Yom Kippur. So I told them, you misunderstand the whole Al-Chet and Hashamnu. You're apologizing to your own soul. You're apologizing to your own soul that for some reason, the message I internalized was that I have to become this and this type of person because I'm so damaged. Hashamnu Bagadnu is you're apologizing to your own soul that I didn't realize the power of my neshama. And that apology is the best apology in the world. And that's really what it is. It's not a cute dvar to get around it. So when you say Parshei Yisrael b'nishmasim, it means have I been a Parsheya towards my soul, a Parsheya, right in my soul towards my soul. So this is what the Mittler Rebbe writes in Agdama of Imrei Bina. Ask the Rebbe, this is not understood. How can a neshama vasiya, whose antennas are not picking up Atzilus or Briya Yitzira? My antennas pick up, yeah, the trucks in the street. And this neshama, first of all, could understand, and not only understand, but yichudim means that it's something that I live. I apply it. I'm living with it. It's not just an intellectual sheer. V'ein lo yichiyach minyan ha-mesiris nefesh atayvim mekal echad v'echad. L'chayri, you could say, well, mesiris nefesh is also demanded from every Jew. Kinyan ha-mesiris nefesh ulamayla metam v'das. V'liyoysi lamayla metam v'das. Ein ze koshin ha-bchines ha-binik ha-mayshi ilamayla. U'bemayla ein ze pella. She-bchines ha-binik ha-mayshi b'nefesh ha-lekis shalisha yisraeli yichayla la-giyya l'sham. Kivan she-ze o-inyan she-eina b'seder ishtalshlus lamayla. V'loy b'seder ishtalshlus she-kechis adam lamata. Mashenken ha-inyan de yichudim al-yoyna v'akavona b'am. Liyoysi koshirim ha-vona v'asaga l'chalapachis ha-sagas ha-metzias. Ein ha-muvan eich shayich she-yiyya eitzel ha-nesham ha-inyan shal ha-vona v'asaga b'dargis shal ha-mayla m'sheder sh-ha-vona v'asaga. When you talk about Mesiris Nefesh, you're talking about a level of consciousness that's beyond Seichel. There's something in the fuse of the soul that is completely beyond logic, beyond intellectual comprehension. And when that comes out, the Dveikus with Ein Sof is evident, it's palpable. It's a different level of consciousness. It's something beyond Binat Atzilus. Like you said, a Chelik Alekami Mal. So mitzad the neshama, it's connected in the deepest way, higher than everything in this world and the next world, higher than seichel. It's lamayla mitam vidas. So it's not rooted in bina of Atzilus. It's rooted in that which is beyond bina. So it's not a pella. It's beyond cognition. That's the point. He says it's not in seder ishtalshlus lamayla. So it's not in seder ishtalshlus lamata. It's not part of the regular structure of personality. When that comes out, all structure is dissolved and beyond structure. You're not thinking. It's you're in a different state. You see even today, right? I heard a commander, he said, he was interviewed. So he said that he was in Khan Yunus with his unit. And there was a home they had to go into. So he told his soldiers, he says, I'll go in first. So there was a soldier working in a soldier on them in his unit. He says, no. You have four kids. I'll go in. So he looks at him and he says, but you have two children. He says, I know, but you have four. So I'll go in. So he turns to the younger one and he says, listen, you're 22. You're a young man. You just started your life. I have four kids, but I'm already older. My family is more established. I'll go in. Besides, I've been in Gaza before. I'm experienced in this crazy place. And he says, I went in. So he says, if you weren't in Khan Yunis, you wouldn't be able to understand this. So he says, before he was telling Israeli reporters, before you write what you write, just imagine what the soldiers are experiencing in Khan Yunis. So now you can explain Al Pisechel. This wasn't his brother or his father or his child. This is another person. It's a stranger. In terms of biology, in terms of a stranger. There's a moment in life, a different level of self comes out. You say, yeah, but it doesn't make sense. But it doesn't have to make sense. In fact, if you try to make sense out of it, you're demeaning it. You're violating it. It's a relationship with truth that is at the core of the soul, and it's l'mayla min ha-seichel. So that to say that exists, yeah, there's a gilui from beyond the shtalshalus in elikus, that's beyond the shtalshalus in a person. It's beyond the whole system. The system shuts down, not because there's no system, because you touched a place that's pre all the systems. Like when Alter Rebbe used to say, I don't want Gan Eden, I don't want Elam Hazza, I don't want Elam Hazza, I want you. That was his state of consciousness. And this wasn't because he was being abusive to himself. No. Everything else was a joke relative to this. So he says, that I understand is an akud of Mesiras Nefesh. But that's not what we're saying here. The inyan of Yechudim El Yoinim and the Kavanah in Yechudim is connected to the self. It's connected to comprehension. It's a lifestyle. That's the Pella. Huh? You say the moment of Mesiras Nefesh you didn't have, and it's true, you see it in special moments of crisis. Mm-hmm. The soldiers last night who liberated the two hostages, 1 o'clock in the morning, right? They went in not just to the line of fire, they went into the worst of Gehenna. And not only did not hesitate, they went with a simcha, with a passion. For what? To save two Jews. So you say, but, and what if two of them die? So, it's all, the questions are bound. Where's the passion coming from? What's the passion? If they're sitting in New Zealand in a beautiful vacation spot, they wouldn't have that passion. That's where you should have passion here. You should nebach. You feel like a tzebrach and a mensch. We have no choice. And the answer is, I'm not going to give an answer because there's no answer. If you want a mathematical explanation, I don't have a mathematical explanation. The answer is that there's something called Yechidah Shebenefer. There's something L'mayla Mitam V'das, beyond Seichel. It's a relationship at the core where the soul experiences godliness at its core. And therefore, there's a level of commitment and connection that transcends everything in the world. That, yeah. But the Imre Bin is talking about something else. He's talking about Sefashtein Chassidus. To understand the Likus and to live with it, to live with Yichudim. What does it mean, Yichudim? To create this oneness inside of me. That's what it means to create Yichudim here. You know, we read about Yichudim. It's like, yeah, find the Baal Shem Tov Zechemacht Yichudim. I don't even know what he's talking about. He closed his eyes, he made Yichudim. That's not Yichudim. To close your eyes is not Yichudim. To open your eyes are Yichudim. Yichudim means not to close my eyes and I fantasies. So he says, this doesn't understand. Even, because this is about Havana, you have to understand and comprehend and relate and explain it to yourself. How can a neshama have Havana v'asaga the moment you go to Bina v'atzilis? Anything above Bina v'atzilis is already divinity outside of comprehension. And then you want me to understand, not only understand, but apply and live with it and relate to it. So first he asked on the Arizal and on the Rajbi and the Nesiyim afterwards, the Rabbeim. And then they're teaching it because they're demanding it from everybody, not just Neshamas of Atzilus, Neshamas of Asiya. If not, why are they teaching it to Neshamas of Asiya? Say, this is not for you. Right? There were the Gdoli Yisrael who said, this is not for you. You sit with your Baba Kama, sit with your Shulchan Aruch, and be a good Jew. The Arizal will figure these things out. It was a whole shitta among very fine Jews. There were those who opposed this whole learning because, well, what are you confusing people? Sit with your Rajba. You want to make a chkira, make a chkira. Gesunte hate. But was, that's to, you even understand Asiya? Well, we don't even understand a cell. And that's, a cell is in Asiya. Now you want Siyatzin and then you want Briya, now Atzilus, now beyond Atzilus, then beyond the Tzimtzum. And then to live with it. Acha inyan hu, so the inyan is, we'll just finish the paragraph. See what he says. And we'll see about understanding what he says. Dehine, etzem haneshama mushreshes ba'atzmus amuhus Ein Sof Baruch Hu. The core of the soul is rooted in the core of Ein Sof. V'lechein k'shem shalamayla. It's a hafla dikavart. The whole chisaron is because we don't understand who we are. We come from the bottom up. You have to see things, not from the bottom up, but from the top. You have to see things from inside, not from outside. How do we understand it? How does a psychologist understand the person? How does he know anything? The answer is we study behavior. We talk to people. We see what they're going through. We see what we're going through. And we make a map of the brain. You have today x-rays and MRIs, so you can also see physical things. And then you talk and you see symptoms. In other words, we're studying everything from symptoms. What about if we can get a map from the one who designed the brain? That would be a different type of map. Our maps come from outside. Now, they talk to me. Oh, you're dealing with this, you're dealing with that, you're dealing with that. So this is what people must be dealing with. Ah, so this is, and we create patterns based on that. And then you have research and hopefully experience to authenticate it. But because of that, our information is always limited to that which is expressed. What if you go back to the beginning? In other words, the one who authored it all can actually give you a map. So then you see all the dysfunction in the context of functionality, not the other way around. You understand what I'm saying? You see illness in the context of health, not health in the context of illness. It's a very big difference. Health in the context of illness means you're sick, I'm sick, we're sick. Now let's figure out how it happened, what it happened, and what we can hope for. What if you can get back to the core of it all, pre any dysfunction, and then map it out? And then see everything in that context. So here you have the ultimate manifestation of this. He says the soul is rooted in Atzmus Amos Ein Sof Baruch Hu. So now here's the question. When Hashem has Bina of Atzilus, how is it by Hashem? How is Hashem's Bina of Atzilus? Is Hashem's Bina of Atzilus an intellectual trap that just makes everything mathematical and comprehensible? Just like in Atzmus. Atzmus, so to speak, is Nishtal. What does it mean, Nishtal? So to speak, is gets embodied in things that are lower. And then through Bina lower and lower all the way to Asiya. But it's all Atzmus. The same is true by the person. We're looking at Bina, oh, it's your brain. What can your brain understand? What can your Bina understand? It's the other way around. The Etzem HaNeshama is Atzmus. Just like Atzmus is embodied in Bina, and therefore it's never defined by it. It's just embodied by it. So the Etzem HaNeshama too, which is one with Atzmos, it comes out in the comprehension too. And therefore, even in the world of understanding, the soul is connected to that which is beyond understanding, even beyond the Shtalshlus, and even a Tfis in Atzmos. In other words, the layer of Bina is not a cover. It's just an embodiment of infinity. The way it's channeled through Bina. And that's why you could demand that through comprehension. one can reach the higher unity and have kavana in them and have intention in them. Shazel winyan Shema Yisrael Havaya Lakenu Havaya Echad. That is Shema Yisrael. The Shema hu gamiloshen havana v'asaga. Shema doesn't only mean to hear. Shema means to get, to comprehend. V'havana v'asaga zu magaz b'havaya echad. And what could you, what comprehend? Hashem Echad. V'zel klolus ha'avayda din Hashem shabameyach sheklolusa v'yikaro havana v'asaga. You hear the nekuda? The nekuda is as follows. This is one of the big yisaidis, and a very big yisaid in chassidus. We talk about every maimer, this level, that level, that level. Chachma and bina and chesed and gvura, atzilus bri, yitzir, asiya, adam kadmen, oirin saf lamayla, adin ketz lamata, adin tachlis, this sphere, that sphere, akudim, nekudim, abrudim, tayu, tikkun, hashem, elikim, right? This name, that name, ah? Map, oiris, kalim. And somebody once asked me by a shir, he said, before I started to learn with you, I knew there was one God. And suddenly now there's like 29,000 of them. This is what we learned before. You hear mashalim, you hear details, and you don't get the whole nekuda. The whole chassid was trying to explain achdus Hashem. He says, suddenly I'm hearing 20, I knew there's one, but nations, but God created the world. No, it's malchus, and the tzimtzum, and the this, and the that. So this is where the ultimate truth becomes the ultimate trap. Huh? What do you say? Yeah, it becomes a rabbit hole. B'deishas bar alakim esmer v'zoz means Hashem created the heaven and earth. It doesn't mean name of a lakim and not Shem Havaya. But if Shem Havaya would have been there, then there would have been no world. Everything would be answered because it's Shem Alakim. So Alakim created the world, not Havaya. Havaya is somewhere in Hawaii. Where's Havaya? He stayed in Atzilus, he sent down Elikim. And then now there's another billion levels in Elikim itself. And then there's the way it's in Atzilus. And breathe, sit down, see. Ah? Hashem hu Elikim. What does it mean, Hashem hu Elikim? So this is an important you said. Hey, I'm just going to say the Nakuda. And that will be my job. I just want to say the Nakuda 5 minutes. And that is, it all has to be understood with Edelkeit, with the right Edelkeit. On the contrary, the reason we speak about so many levels is in order to explain oneness. It's not to create a new million levels that you, before you weren't confused and now you get confused. Yeah. So it was a boy in a Chashva Litvashi Yeshiva, so his father wrote a letter to him. Was Pesach time, and he said, "Nu, how much Gemara did you cover?" So he says, "Baruch Hashem, the first 8 blot of Baba Kama that I don't understand." So now I know I don't understand anything. It's the exact opposite. In order to really not just explain unity, but experience unity, you have to understand all this. Why? Why? Because it's very nice to say God is one somewhere wherever he is. That's not called God is one. God is one means God is one in my triggers. God is one in my issues. God is one in my pain or my liberation of it. God is one in my identity, in my brain, in my soul, in my relationships, in my experiences. That's what it means. And now you say, well, that's not the case. So what do? Either I deny myself or I deny God as one. The only way to create that fusion is through Seder Ishtalshelus. Seder Ishtalshelus means that the way the oneness of Hashem is expressed is in endless, infinite manifestations. And wherever you search, if you search deep enough and in the right way, you're going to come back to that achdus. So if you say there's no Ishtalshelus, just one, fine. He's one, I believe you. That's called emunah, and it's a beautiful thing. And for Mesiras Nefesh, it works. But the whole Nekudah of Chassidus was the Gili of Mashiach, which is Einoid Malvada, inside your system. Inside your system. That the whole world becomes unified. But in me, there's a billion different voices within an hour. And if you're even more complicated, there's maybe a trillion voices, certainly 90 voices. Is that all one? So you could say, okay, thank you. We say, we're all Mishagayim. It's also true. But that's the whole Nakuda. So for this we have to explain, how Hishtalshalus works. In other words, how did we get to every detail and every manifestation? Every Nakuda you're experiencing is a result of another level in Hishtalshalus. And does the oneness pervade that too or not? Or the oneness is just completely abstract? The real Achdus Hashem is the understanding that when you speak about Atzilus Bri Yitzira Asiya, what is it really? Every experience in life in Chassidus could be identified as you're experiencing this. This is what Toyu looks like. This is what Malchus of Toyu looks like. This is what Gvura of Toyu looks like. The map is really identifying every force that exists in the world, including Amalek. If there was no Bina of Atzilus, the whole experience of understanding something wouldn't exist. Why? Because Ein Sof is not about understanding. But Hashem wanted that the Achdus should be able to permeate understanding also. So therefore, Atzmus goes into Bina. Every level is another way in which Atzmus expresses itself. The difference is, do I get stuck or not? Is it infinite consciousness embodied in finite reality or not? That's what Hishtalshalus is. Hishtalshalus is not a separate God, Chas v'Shalom. It's all Atzmus. But don't get stuck in the shell of it. Realize that the shell is just an embodiment of Atzmus. So maybe you don't say, if Atzmus is in Bina, yeah? So suddenly God became a mathematical reality. No. It's just the way it's channeled through Bina. But what is it? It's Atzmus. Since the Neshama is really Atzmus, so Mele, it's also true about the Neshama. So Mele, even mitzad the Bina of the Neshama, mitzad Havana, your Teufis, not only things that work in Seichel, your Teufis, everything. You can have a Tfisi, you can have a Sheiches, even to that which is beyond Seichel, even to that, as he says, which is beyond the Shtalshalos, even in Atzmus. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Because all of our faculties are essentially manifestations and embodiments of the ultimate unity. It's just the way the oneness is being manifested through this feature, through this quality, through that quality. And that's the Nekudah of Neshama. Okay, this is the main point. I know it needs a little more explanation. Be'ezer Hashem next time. Tomorrow morning we have a woman's class at 9:30 and we'll resume this Be'ezer Hashem Thursday morning, 7:45. Have a beautiful day. If you didn't say Kriya Shema yet, you should say.
Ignorance is not a bliss.
Ignorance is not bliss, no. Ignorance likes to say that ignorance is bliss in order to justify it. Ignorance loves saying, ignorance is bliss. It's not. It's stupidity. So if Bina becomes a trap, then it's taka trap. Real Bina can never, in other words, no nekuda that's disconnected from anything else.
In a way, bliss, the real bliss requires the
Bina. Yeah.
Without Bina, it's a
stupidity. Right. Right.
That's the same
nekuda. In other words, Atzmus chose to go through Hishtalshalus. Hashem says, now I want to be expressed through Seichel, through Middas, through feelings. So every nekuda is another element of Hishtalshalus being manifested. And that's why you don't have to be scared of yourself. You don't have to be scared of any part. Don't be afraid. It's just another opportunity to express the Achdus Hashem. Why are you afraid? We're so afraid of our triggers. We're so afraid of what's going to... Don't be afraid. God, the whole idea of Hishtalshalus is God wasn't afraid to be manifested in all forms of reality. Don't be afraid. Every part is going to express the truth in another way. You have to have the courage to see it through. In other words, not to get stuck in the chitzonius of it, in the outer trigger. But if you see it through, you'll don't be afraid. You was typhus, huh? You always have the same question. we have to change the CD. You're not bad. We come from the outside. You have to come from the inside. You're Atzmus Ein Sof. The Neshama is Atzmus. And Atzmus is being manifested. The reason we call ourselves bad is because of messages that are completely from the blockages that block this truth. And if I'm doing a bad thing, it's only because I don't recognize my space, the real space of a person.
When we say there's a neshama atzilus or a neshama b'riyah, that's only in our perception.
Yeah. When you say a neshama atzilus, a neshama b'riyah, a neshama yitzin, a neshama yitzin, it means, excellent question, that the avoid of this neshama is to express atzmos through b'riyah. Through Yitzira, through Atzilus, you understand? That's the word. And that's a whole different word. That neshama of Briya, you're stuck in Nebuchim Briya, you're stuck in Asis. So what are you asking from Yechudim? What are you, when Mashiach came into, there's a letter from the Baal Shem Tov, you know, to his brother-in-law, Reb Gershon Kitever. The Baal Shem Tov writes a letter, it's printed. He says, Rosh Hashanah Tov Kuv Zayin, Rosh Hashanah 1746. He went up, he had Aliyas on neshama, meaning, death, what we call death of ego, complete, which Baal Shem Tov was on a regular day, but Rosh Hashanah was abyssal mer. And he went to the Heichel of Mashiach, and he asked him, Emasai Ka'asimar, when are you coming? When are you coming? So Mashiach told him, L'chsheyefutzu ma'nesach echutza, that everybody knows from the Niggin. L'chsheyefutzu ma'nesach echutza, when your wellsprings will be disseminated everywhere, chutza. And then he says, and when everyone will be able, will do yechudim like you. That's the continuation. Everybody will do yichudim like you. So this maimer, the Rebbe is addressing this. It's a chiddush gadol. He's addressing this nekuda. Shtal tzich deshayli yichudim like you. What is this, a joke? Was a mockery? That's only if you taich neshama d'asiya, you're stuck in the bubble of asiya. So that's not the vort. Since the neshama is rooted in atzmus, and neshama of asiya is, your avoid is to express atzmus in asiya. Yeah, because it's, since it's Atzmus and Asiya, so therefore, Asiya is just the outer layer, not shell, but the outer layer through which I'm working. Shell, not in the sense of shell clippage, just the structure that which I have to work through with. And it's true with every person. Everything you're dealing with is just the opportunity to be able to shine the infinite light in that space. You say, no, I'm messed up. Those words, I'm messed up, have to be deleted. There's no such thing, I'm messed up. As much as you're messed up, you're as messed up as God is messed up. Sorry. So some say God is also. Okay. So then.
At least you have a good company.
At least, yeah. No, that's the word. This is what God needs you to work through for him. He needs you to work through this perception of how messed up everything is. Oh, so neshama vatzilus. So what do you need? Neshama vatzilus is the one who teaches this. In other words, if a neshama d'asiya doesn't know, the neshama vatzilus is there to teach the neshama of asiya who it is. That's what it's there for.
That really can transcend even vatzilus.
Because it is transcendent. Neshama shenasata bi, it's a reflection of atzmos. In other words, the neshama is a derivative of atzmos, so to speak. So just like when Hashem goes into Bina, you don't say, now he's a seichel dik, he became a philosopher. So don't talk to him about anything beyond philosophy. That's not the vart. It's ein sof expressed through philosophy. It's a whole different inyan. A person has to learn. There's no going around it. Every person has their avoda. If a person who could know it needs to know it. Person who could know it needs to know it. Pnimis HaTorah without Nigla is very, it's cheap. It's, there's something off. You could see right away. It's not,
it's
Dr. Rebbe says in the Kutta Torah, it's like eating salt without you need the salt, you need the pepper, you need the spice, but you need the meat and potato. If not, it's yeah. Gemara and Halacha keep the Jewish people sane. If they would have only had Pnimis HaTorah, they would have lost their sanity. You need the sanity. Not just the sanity, it's the real world, it's the concrete world, it's a lakus in this world. It's Chachmasish LaKadosh Baruch Hu and an ox and a bull. And
so that's why he started the Maimer, it was covered in the liver.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
The,
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly what Calvin Chagask had with Chabad, and just said the people, great people who said.
Excellent question. So that's what this maim is trying to explain. In other words, if Chachma Bina Das becomes about intellectual comprehension, you miss the whole point. You miss the whole boat. You're right. If a Chabad Chassid doesn't is not Taifas this, he could miss the whole idea. The point of Chachma Bina Das is that the Atzmus, the truth which is beyond Seichel, should be internalized viscerally in a way that it's so relatable so that it also permeates my understanding. The moment it becomes about understanding as the ultimate experience, understanding is not the ultimate experience. It's a gewaldic inyan. It's not. Das alekei avicha, but vavdeyu b'leiv of shalom. You're right. They thought Chabad was, I'm going to create philosophers. Well, what do I, give me fire. Give me passion.
Usually, Chabad explained that like, you have to learn because this mitzvah with Yesh Hashem. Classical Chabad answer, not like this is the ikar of this mitzvah, correct?
But it's true, it's a mitzvah sidi is Hashem, but there's something much more powerful. Not more powerful, something equal.
What's not Chabad understanding of
mitzvah? I don't think they discuss it much.
Yeah.
Well, there's a machlokes between the Chovas HaLevavos and the Sefer HaChinuch and other Rishonim, not about Pnimiyus HaTorah, but about if there's a mitzvah to investigate the truth of God's existence, even God's existence, which is not what Chassidus does. Chassidus, you don't have proofs for God's existence. The Sefer HaChinuch says no.
Science is the most normal because they stop when they can stop. That's in beyond the science, I'm like,
That's real science, but often science has an agenda. You're right.
But beyond this, Atzilus, like, I don't know.
You do know. The word Atzilus could be traumatizing, but you know what it is. Everybody knows what it is. It's called love.
Yesterday I saw a very nice line. Kids needs love. Especially when they don't deserve it.
Especially what?
When they don't deserve
it. Atzilus is the space of attachment. Of course you know what it is. It's a space of intimate oneness. It's the space that every soul craves. We just search for it in different ways, but it's not... When people read it in other books, when they read about these things, suddenly everything is clear. No, there's no real G'dayli Yisrael who denied the centrality of Pnimiyus HaTorah. There's no. The question was, should it be taught to everybody? But no G'dal B'Yisrael could deny the centrality of Pnimiyus HaTorah. Unless you're just... Fine, but there was no G'dal B'Yisrael who's authentic that can deny the centrality of Pnimiyus HaTorah to Judaism. The question... Okay, fine, there's different ways of expounding it, but that's...
They went crazy. Some kids, I know,
that's,
you learn the right
context.
That's true. Everything could be... Everything could... Sure, no question. Everything could become OCD. Of course, you have to be healthy. If you're not a healthy person... If there's no baseline of health, everything just becomes part of trying to run away from my pain. So then, yeah, of course, we're not talking about that. Yeah, anything could be experienced through the lens of illness and dysfunction, and it will contribute to it. I mean, Hamas screams Allah all day. They talk about God all day, right? And what does God mean? To rape as many women as you can. That's what God is. So women. And you get schar, you die, and you get tremendous schar. Right? And then they quote Allah all day. And they talk about Mesiras Nefesh too. The head of Hamas said, what's the difference between us and the Jews? He says, we're going to win. Why? Because we love to die and they love to live. You hear what he said? You can't win us. The Germans, the Nazis wanted to live. They didn't want to die. They wanted to live. They want the Jews to die. Hamas said, no, we want to die. So how are you going to win us? You guys want to live, Nabach. So we won. We're happy to die. It's much better there. You guys want to live.
Let's
die, and
let's leave. That's it.
I'm just saying, you understand? So you're taking a concept of Mesidus Nefesh, and what does it become? Kill as many Jews as you can, and that's Mesidus Nefesh. So you take the holiest concept, Mesidus Nefesh, which means complete unity with love, and what does it become? It becomes kill as many as you can, including your own kids. My point is that anything, if there's no baseline of sanity and morality, the way Torah describes it, it can be devastating. There's no question about that.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.